Welcome back. You're on Public Address Radio on Radio Live. You could have been forgiven recently for thinking that a chunk of Wellington's culture had been relocated wholesale to New York. Public Address's Jalissa Gracewood blogged about the launch party where the Phoenix Foundation played and Jermaine Clement of the Flight of the Conchords rubbed shoulders with famous folk. The launch was for something else that was straight out of Wellington. Eagle vs. Shark, the debut feature by Academy Award nominee Taika Waititi. Russell talked to the director and to Sam Flynn Scott of the Phoenix Foundation, whose music is a key part of the film.
Hey, fool! Sucker. Foolish. Foolish sucker. Bit of what?
Hello? Hello, is Eric there, please?
So, I mean, have you to some extent caught the movie bug as a result of doing the soundtrack work?
Oh, yeah. Well, we always wanted to do soundtracks. A big influence on the band is the music to Dario Argento horror films. But I think for us, the sort of pretend soundtracks was always this thing that we were just really keen to do because we really wanted to score a film. And something we talked about after doing Pegasus and, you know, doing those instrumental tracks was that wouldn't it be great to work with Taika, because he's the dude in Wellington, you know.
Welcome to Meaty Boy.
It's an invitation to my party. You get to dress as your favourite animal.
Cool.
So did you learn anything new about Taika through working with him?
Well, not really, because we sort of just learnt more that he's like a really chilled out, easygoing guy who has, you know, seemingly 1,000 good ideas a day, while also seemingly just lounging about. And that was sort of already the impression I had.
That makes him sound like your kind of guy.
Yeah. Crazy dude. No, it was great. It was really great to work with. You know, it was definitely a pretty easy working relationship.
Taika, Sam Scott told us that you were the most laid-back creative person he'd ever come across.
Is that really what it means?
I was going to say, is that really what your creative process is like? Are you secretly seething inside?
Yeah, I think that's just the outward expression that I try and show people, that I'm always calm. Because if you can relax other people around you, then you know, then you can. I think it's easier to get ideas out of them and to steal those ideas and use them. Otherwise, you know, people are very protective of their ideas around you. So, especially around someone like Sam, it's very important for me to relax and to relax him, make him feel calm and at home, and for me not to stress out around him, because otherwise he just clams up and, you know, he doesn't make any music at all. And yeah, no, I mean, working with those guys, though, it was actually a breeze. Like, I already knew that I wanted to use most of their music for the film, but while I was writing, I was already, listening to Horsepower and Pegasus, and I could almost credit them with, you know, with some of the writing in the film, because just, you know, having a musical element while you're writing, it's very evocative and it helps you come up with a lot of images and scene ideas and stuff. And, you know, so, like, you know, there's one sort of motif from Hitchcock which is used quite a few times in the film, and that really was right there from the very beginning, and I always sort of wanted that in the film.
And of course, the interesting thing about that is that I think for their part, they saw stuff like Hitchcock always in the first place as, you know, film school music.
Yeah, all their music is very cinematic. I always, you know, I mean, that's what probably draws me to it more than most other New Zealand music, is that it doesn't feel like, you know, the kind of sort of small packaged pop song kind of music that is, yeah, that was being made, you know, for radio or for a sort of a specific audience. It just seems like, you know, a lot of very creative people making stuff that they really love and really like. And it's, you know, I think the main audience they've made it for is themselves. And I think that's what appeals to me the most.
I need to go home.
What do you have to do?
Kill a man. He's going to be home soon. Guess who's going to be forming the welcoming party?
You?
You got it, girl.
So when did he actually ask you?
He called me and Luke up and met us for a coffee at Maranui Surf Club and sort of said, oh, I've been, you know, listening to these tracks and listening to Hitchcock and SeaWorld, the, you know, the instrumental stuff, Pegasus, and I've been thinking about using some of these in my soundtrack. Would you let me put them in my soundtrack? And we were like, of course we'll let you put them in your soundtrack. What else is going on your soundtrack? What are you doing for score? And he was like, well, I thought maybe you guys might be into doing that as well. And I was like, yes! So, from then on we were just, you know, giddy schoolgirls who couldn't wait to get some synthesizers and laptops in front of us. And
what did he do?
Him and some of the other guys from school used to gang up on me. I used to be a bit of a nerd.
So it was particular music, rather than just wanting to have, say, New Zealand music on the soundtrack of your New Zealand film.
I always wanted New Zealand music, and, you know, predominantly, but to be honest, you know, I haven't really been that inspired by a lot of New Zealand music lately, and, you know, I mean, I've always loved those guys' stuff, and I mean, and also one of the things I just really wanted to use their music before anyone else did, because I knew it was only a matter of time. I mean, I just thought it was crazy that no one had come along and taken their CDs and stuck them in a soundtrack, so I felt very lucky.
So how was it when you actually started doing it, though? Did it come naturally?
Well, a lot of the score stuff was done mainly by Luke and Conrad, because they're really the main synthesizer nerds. So the film's got a lot of these sort of very moody, just 70s synthesizer kind of pieces, and you're just trying to create 30 seconds of music and using all the toys you can, and really having a lot of time and a lot of resources to sort of achieve very little bits of music, and so you can be quite precise, and you have to be very specific with soundtrack stuff, and you have to really pay attention to the director, and we're not particularly used to doing that. We're pretty much don't pay any attention to people when they tell us what's wrong with our albums in terms of critics or record companies or friends or anyone. You know, if they say, oh, this is wrong or that's wrong, you just go, no, this is our vision, we're doing it our way, you can all get stuffed. But then when you're making music for a director and Taka's like, well, I think, you know, you could probably use a little bit more glockenspiel, and you just want to go, glockenspiel, you fool! That instrument is for children! But you don't, you kind of go, okay, well, it's his film, I'll try it, and then you put it in, and you're like, oh, he's right. It fits his film.
I brought you here today to ask you a very special question. Lily, will you be my girlfriend? Yes. Yes, I will. Awesome.
In terms of the tone of the film, the humour is clearly very deadpan, and so obviously is the humour in the Flight of the Conchords TV series. Are we getting at some sort of peculiarly New Zealand sense of humour here?
I think so. I think that is probably the New Zealand sense of humour. We haven't really had a chance to see it that often, especially on TV, you know, where we've spent all of our time trying to copy other shows from America and other places, and it's never really worked, you know, because I don't think we've really been ourselves in a comic way. And yeah, you know, like New Zealand, the New Zealand sort of art is usually pretty dark, right? And you know, you can see it in our music and in the painting and, you know, and all of our art forms, especially in our film, and so I think that, you know, even our style of comedy is tinged with this darkness as well. Like, it comes from, you know, the sort of bittersweet sort of side of human tragedy and emotional pain, which I think is hilarious.
And glorious failure as well.
Yeah, that's totally. The humour and just finding humour in human failure is brilliant. It's so New Zealand. We've got to be proud of that.
Reading the reviews, the American ones, the ones that like the film do seem to regard it as a peculiarly Kiwi take on things. It's almost like you're representing New Zealand. Do you sort of feel that way sometimes?
Yeah, when it's doing well, I definitely feel like I'm representing New Zealand. If people don't like the film, then I'm kind of on my own. But I think that definitely it's a the film has got a real New Zealand flavour. I mean, it was made for New Zealanders, you know, before anyone else. Like, I didn't like write the film thinking, wow, this would be great in the States. Because, you know, there's so much of the film, really, you have to be a New Zealander or you have to have lived here for a while to really get, you know, where it's coming from. There's a lot of, like, dysfunction in all the characters and stuff, which I think most New Zealanders will really appreciate. Whereas over in America, they find that kind of tragic and depressing. But, you know, it is distinctly a New Zealand film.
Yes, I think Sam said the same thing. He found his humour was often misunderstood in the States.
Oh, for sure. You know, you try and be sarcastic, or, you know, you try and be irreverent, or, you know, ironic over in the States, and they just take everything so seriously. It has to be really, like, broad and in your face in the States for them to actually get it. That's why they, you know, they have to remake things like The Office over there, because they just, I don't think they can handle, you know, the more subversive comedy that the rest of the world appreciates.
Your favourite animal is a shark?
Yep.
I almost came as a shark, actually, but then I realised that an eagle's slightly better.
So, and I presume you do press interviews over there. Are people associating you with the film? Or?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think we've got a bit of press because of the film, and, you know, it sort of helped us along a bit. But I've noticed there's been some negative press for Eagle vs. Shark that's been republicized in New Zealand. I keep noticing that, like, stuff keep on going, oh, Eagle vs. Shark got a bad review in Variety or something like that. And then when you're over there, it's sort of like there's this big kind of publicity thing behind it, but it's very localized and it's very aimed at certain demographics, and it's not really being aimed at mainstream America, and it's not really going to get a good response from mainstream America. It's very much a, New York and Brooklyn and the Lower East Side specifically, it's very different to the rest of America.
How many boyfriends have you had?
Three. How many girlfriends have you had?
That's irrelevant.
Now, getting back to the reviews, they haven't been so much mixed as either black or white. It's interesting. It's either the film's either original and charming or derivative and lifeless.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's nothing in between. Why do you think that is?
I just think with all great works of art, you know, you have to have some sort of conflict, yeah, with criticism. If I'd actually be pretty worried if everyone, you know, loved this film, then I'd probably be pretty depressed, because I'd consider that making something really mainstream, which to me is artistic suicide. And you know what? Who cares? If you either get the film or you're a moron.
So can we talk about the next project? It's the feature film. Well, okay. Tell us a little bit about it.
Sure. So the next project, if it all happens, is kind of based on. It's not based on Two Cars, One Night, but it's extension of the themes and the ideas behind that world. You know, like kids growing up in the country. Probably in the 80s, because it's the only kind of time period where I really know how to write a child's world, and I'm not going to put cell phones or Pokemon in my movie. And it's just about kids growing up in the country, really, you know, like in a small Māori community.
Do you want to leave a message for him?
Tell him that justice is waiting for him.
Okay, Justin, thank you, bye-bye.
No, justice.
And that was a little snippet from Eagle vs. Shark. And that is screening at film festivals at the moment and will go on general release next month. We'll be back after the break to chat with Paul Litterick and also to take a look at the inner workings of scoop.co.nz.